Hey, friend. Welcome to Perspectives into Practice, a place where life's stories meet practical wisdom. Together, we'll explore how faith-filled perspectives can transform the way we live, love, and grow. So grab a seat, settle in, and join us on this journey to turn inspiration into action. Let's dive in. Hey, friend. Welcome back to Perspectives into Practice. This is a space where we don't shy away from the hard stories because we believe that God's grace shines brightest in the dark. Before we begin, I want to give a gentle heads up that today's episode is centered around the topic of abortion. So if you have young children listening, you might want to pause this and come back with headphones later. This is a deeply personal and often painful subject, but it's one that we can't ignore. Too often, we assume that abortion is something that happens outside the church, but really the truth is, it is present in our pews and our communities. In fact, research now shows that around 70% of women who have had an abortion identify as Christian, which is a staggering, staggering percentage. Today, I have a very special guest with me, my dear friend Jamie. She and I actually met during a Surrendering the Secret group that I was leading. It's a Christ-centered post-abortion healing class created by Pat Layton. I'll put some links in the show notes, and once you're there, you can actually find a class that's near you. It really is a gentle, scripture-rich space where women are invited to name their pain, process their past, and receive God's full forgiveness. That class was the beginning of a beautiful healing journey for so many, and it could be yours too. It has been such a gift to watch how Jesus has transformed Jamie's life since that first day we met. Her story is tender, real, and beautiful, and it is full of redemption. After walking through the pain of abortion many years back, Jamie encountered the healing power of Jesus, and he didn't meet her after she had it all together. He met her in her brokenness. So today, Jamie walks in freedom and forgiveness, and she shares her story when the Lord prompts her to with gentleness, honesty, and so much hope. She also hosts a podcast called Here I Am, which is honestly a beautiful extension of her heart to say to God and others, "Here I am, use me." So welcome, Jamie. I'm so thankful that you're here today.
Oh, thank you so much, Jessica. I'm just excited to be
too.
Here. And want to give you a shout out, Jessica, for your heart and your soul and the things that you helped me in my life when I really needed it.
Thank you.
And to be able to know the truth, to know that Jesus loves me no matter what I've done and what road that I took, but the road leaded to him.
Yeah. It always leads to him. And that's one of the things that I always share here on this podcast is that I never want someone listening to leave here without the truth. I don't want to shy away from the truth. I always want to make sure that we're pointing back to the truth, big T truth, Jesus, right? But also talk about the hard things, talk about the things that a lot of times we don't want to talk about. And that's where we're here today. But before we get too deep though, you guys know I love a fun fact. Jamie's fun fact is that she is just 5 hours short of becoming a private pilot. So, okay. How did that even begin? Tell me all these things.
It happened about 13 years ago, maybe 13, 14 years ago. And they were giving out free flyers and they said that they were going to be doing a free flight.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, I really want to do that. I always wanted to be able to fly a plane. And when I finally got to get on the plane and fly it, it was like a different world.
Wow.
And be able to see things that you weren't able to see, you know, on land.
Yeah.
And I was hooked.
Oh.
But then during that time, I did my hours and was loving it more and more and more.
Yeah.
And it got to be that I only had about 5 hours left. And then the money became an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I lost my first husband at that time.
Yeah.
So I stopped and, you know, had to take care of my family and other things. But I was just like, even though I don't have that certificate in my hand, I don't have that license, then I know that I could do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the big question that I'm sure we all want to know, are you going to finish those 5 hours?
I would love to, but I'm just going to see where the Lord, you know, has a door open.
Absolutely.
It's not cheap, you know, because you have to pay for the solo lesson, and then plus you have to pay for the hours.
Yeah. I'm sure the fuel is not cheap either.
No, it's not. Yeah. So if the Lord gives me an opportunity to do it, I'll take it.
Yeah. Hey, who knows? Maybe someone listening here is like, you know what? Let's take her under my wing.
Yeah.
Literally and figuratively. Awesome. Oh my goodness. I love that. Oh my gosh. Okay. So let's take a deep breath together and open our hearts, because this isn't a story of shame. It's a story of mercy, and it's a story of how Jesus comes close to the brokenhearted, and he never leaves us there, right? So, Jamie, thank you for being here. Would you take us back to that season before you fully knew the forgiveness of Christ for your abortion? What were you carrying then, and how did it shape how you saw yourself and God?
No, I was a Christian. I got saved when I was 9 years old. Mm. Grew up in a Christian home. Was there a lot of turmoil in my home? Yeah. You know, between my parents and also my mother worked at the crisis pregnancy center, but we never had those deep conversations of exactly what an abortion is.
Yeah.
And during that time, it was 1984, there was a lot of lies, and still today there's a lot of lies.
Yeah.
But I was with a boyfriend for four years. Mm. And it was the first time that I had sex, and I got pregnant. Mm. And I was just straight out of high school. I was confused. You know, I felt like that time it was like my worst nightmare.
Yeah.
My boyfriend at the time was not the greatest guy.
Yeah.
He had a lot of problems. He had a lot of drug use, alcohol, bipolar.
Yeah.
I just didn't think that I was able to do it alone. I had family members that I was able to go to, but they pretty much steered me. You know, they're like, Jamie, this has to be your decision. Hmm. But if you make the decision of having an abortion, it's okay.
Hmm.
And it really wasn't okay.
Yeah.
And really what I wanted at that time, I just wanted to know, hey, I'm with you.
Yeah.
That we can raise this baby. You have nothing to fear.
Yeah.
But I didn't think that I had that.
Hmm.
You know, and at that time, it was just like, well, you can always go and adopt, you know, have the baby adopted. But for me to be able to see that baby and hold that baby and be able to give that baby up,
yeah,
I wouldn't have been able to do it.
Yeah.
So I pretty much just blocked it. Yeah. I wanted it to be finished.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what the sacrifice that my child, her name is Mackenzie Grace.
Mm. Yes.
I didn't know the sacrifice that my child took.
Yeah.
Because of my decision. And I dug it deep. I mean, it was deep, Jessica, and you saw it.
Yeah.
my pain was, I hid it very well.
Yeah.
And I made excuses like, yeah, God forgives me and I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm okay. But then I became a yes person.
Mm.
I became a person that whatever anybody asked me that they needed help with, I said yes. Because I thought that would make me a better person.
Yeah.
And I did that even with my family. I took my family underneath my wing, and I felt like I needed to keep the peace in my family. If anybody was having conflict with one person or another, I was always there to intervene.
Mm.
That took a toll on me. It's big burden to bear when you're trying to keep your family together.
Yeah.
And the more that I tried, I thought I would make myself happy. But as long as the other person was happy, as long as my mother was happy, and my sister and my brother and, you know, my family, then I was happy.
Yeah. Hmm. That is a huge burden.
And I took that upon myself.
Yeah.
And then I remember you asked me, you know, who gave you that choice to be that burden? And I said, well, no one else would take it. So I took it. And then you said to me, Jesus is the one who carries that burden.
Yeah.
And the anxiety, you know, started ramping up when I was doing Surrendering the Secret.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I became fully healed. It was a process.
Yeah.
It took me a year after surrendering the secret to be able to live my new life because it was a transformation immediately.
Yeah.
But that transformation doesn't mean that you're totally healed within, you know, a certain amount of time.
Right. Right.
It showed me like I never had before. I never knew the gifts of the Spirit. I never knew what the Holy Spirit was all about. Mm. You know, you hear in churches, they talk about the Holy Spirit, but they really don't tell you the truth about the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
They don't tell you that he's your everything.
Yeah.
He's your guidance. He's your teacher. He's your Father who absolutely loves you. It's the same Spirit that was in Jesus when he descended into heaven and gave him life.
Yeah.
And you think like, you know, how could that same Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit that was in Jesus?
Yeah.
That's in us, regular old us.
Yeah.
And that's when I really seriously became a child of God.
Hmm.
Because to be a child of God, you have to have that Holy Spirit.
Yeah. It's a relationship.
It can't be done by man. It's that I commit my life to you. I surrender everything to you.
Yeah.
I surrender my husband. I surrender my children. I surrender my home.
Yeah.
And I surrender my family and friends. And until that surrender, you can't have that peace.
It is. It is the most perfect peace that you will ever feel. But you're right. You have to surrender, which is, and we just talked about this a couple episodes ago, and where when we surrender, a lot of times we are still holding our things. We're like, yes, Lord, we surrender. We release this to you, but we're not actually letting go of it and releasing it.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people think doing the right steps, if they're checking off the boxes, like, yep, that's it. That's it. But you really do have to surrender and trust. And that's a hard one too, especially if you've gone through any kind of trauma. That trusting aspect is really difficult, especially to someone that you can't physically see.
Right, right.
Mm, I love that. So was there a moment where you realized that maybe, just maybe, that Jesus wasn't done with your story?
Oh, it was right after surrendering the secret.
Mm.
And the Holy Spirit told me that he was going to use me.
Yes.
And I said to some of the other women that were in our group, and I'm like, I don't know where, when, or how, but he's going to use me.
Yes.
And he did a year later.
Yeah.
I was able to give my testimony after I did surrendering the secret over at the church that we belong to. It was about 9 to 12 months later. There was this pastor called Scott Ward who came to the church and was talking about, you know, women who've had abortions, and he has this ministry that he would go in front of Planned Parenthood and rescue babies.
Yeah.
And talk about the gospel and talk about Jesus. So I started showing up twice a week for over a year.
Yeah. I remember that.
And telling people my testimony. I had a boldness and I had no fear.
Yeah.
You knew when you met me, I really wasn't shy, but I did have that little bit of a shyness to me, you know, especially, you know, telling my story. But he gave me such a boldness.
Yeah.
And for the first 6 months, every time that I was there, there was never a rescue.
Mm.
And I said, Jesus, I said, come on, I really want a rescue. Yeah. I really want a rescue. And he's like, it's not time. It always would happen in the day that I wasn't there or somebody else got to talk to the woman before, which I'm still blessed about that.
Yes.
Anyway,
you
want the rescues.
Yeah.
And it happened that I was on the street over in Planned Parenthood in Nashville, and I was by myself. And I was just walking up and down the street on the sidewalk and just praying. And then a woman pulled up and she could speak English, but she spoke mostly Spanish, but she can understand what I was saying. And she went in there to have an abortion.
Yeah.
So I spoke to her and I told her, you know, you only had, you know, just like a couple, not even a minute
Yeah.
Because if they do, the people in Planned Parenthood will start coming out and
they will
and chasing you.
Right.
And pulling those women in to come on, don't listen to her. But the Lord allowed me just to be able to talk to her just for a couple seconds. And she went in there and she came back out and she goes, I'm keeping my baby.
Yes. Oh, and praise God.
You. Yeah. Thank you for telling me your story.
Yeah.
And then right after that, then there was this couple that pulled up. It was a husband and wife. They were young and they were traveling. She was going in there to do the first, you know, like they do one interview and then the second one, they do the abortion.
Yeah.
So she was there to, you know, for them to talk about the abortion and when and set a date and everything. Hmm. So I spoke to the couple and I'm like, you're here for a reason. Mm-hmm. You know, you had to come all this way. You were traveling. You had to come all this way and you're heading out to Arizona.
Oh.
And I said, and you landed right here. So I started talking about my story. I had a little bit more time because there was nobody there, you know, at the sidewalk.
Yeah.
They never went in.
Mm.
They never went in.
Mm.
They're like, thank you. They gave me their telephone number. I text them, prayed over them, and they're like, thank you.
Mm.
And all her anxiety started to go away. She was really anxious and just crying like crazy.
Yeah.
And when she left, she was calm.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, you know what? I said, as a husband, you need to be with her.
Yeah.
I said, you're the father of this baby.
Yeah. You're responsible.
And then when they left and I was shouting on the streets, just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I was weeping. And I'm like, you know, he just didn't give me one. He gave me two.
Yes. Isn't that just like our God?
And after that, there was story upon story when he used me.
Yeah. That is so beautiful. And, you know, as you were describing the Planned Parenthood employees that come and they just like take the person to get them away from Christ's light, which is what you're trying to share. It honestly reminds me of little demons that come and they want to take you and tell you all of these precious lies that feel right. It's exactly what you need to hear to satisfy that one urge that you have, which is for this point, it's having an abortion. You're like, you'll never have to think about it again. This is going to solve all of your problems. You know, nobody has to know, like all of these lies that they tell you to get you in there. It doesn't hurt the baby, like everything there. It's the same as when in Genesis, when the serpent was talking to Adam and Eve, God didn't say you're going to die if you eat this, right? That's exactly what she wanted to hear. She's like looking at the one thing that she couldn't have. And Satan is able to twist the truth, which is exactly what these employees are doing. They're twisting the truth and pulling them away from the actual truth, which is what you're trying to share. And it breaks my heart, truly. But I'm so thankful that you've been obedient in sharing your story and that even though God didn't give you in that 6 months, he didn't give you the rescues that you were looking for, right? There were still rescues, but you were planting the seeds. He was working on you every moment that you were there, every single time. And then when you least expected it, there he was. There he was. Oh, that is.
That's what he does with me. I mean, it's like through my whole entire life. You know, he's always just like when in that moment where I think that it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Or it's not something that you know, really thought about it. Oh, I wonder what my rescue is going to look like. And it's like nothing like you thought.
Because ever,
you know, his thoughts are not your thoughts and my thoughts are not his thoughts.
Exactly. And we don't know what he's doing in the background, preparing us for that next yes. And on that note, though, not every time that we go through a healing, do we have to share our story in such a big way? We don't have to share on a stage, right? We don't have to share on a podcast. Yeah. We don't have to share on the side of the street. But because God is so merciful and gracious and faithful and all of the things that God is, when we fully surrender and we trust in him and we trust that he has forgiven us, we want to share.
Yes.
We want to share what God has done in our lives, regardless of how we think that it might make us look to others. you don't care anymore because it is for your good and His glory, period.
Absolutely. And when it becomes to the point, you know, the other women, you know, they feel like they have to continue on talking about it.
Yeah.
And pushing it a little mm-hmm. bit.
Yeah.
And sometimes they just need to pack up.
Yeah. Because we're planting seeds. It's not every time that you share or that you feel like you're supposed to share that you need to vomit everything, every detail, everything. That's when we need to listen to and tune into Holy Spirit and say, Father, what do you want me to share? What does this person need to hear? Not just what do I feel like I need to get off of my shoulders. But a lot of times that comes from a healed heart versus a not healed heart. Not healed heart is going to want to share all of the details to in hopes that something is going to touch. But a healed heart knows where God has been in the process and is able to share just what is needed and not allow it all just to flow out because it's not always necessary. There might come a time where someone does need to hear every single detail. And I've had that experience. That was one of my very first experiences sharing my story. I shared every single dirty detail because I wanted them to know exactly what they were going to choose if they chose this.
Yeah.
But that's not always.
No, it's not. I don't really have to go into real big details with other people.
No.
You know,
no.
I did at Planned Parenthood, you know, because the women were going in there.
Yes.
So I tried to tell them as much as I could.
Yeah.
Before they go and walk in that door.
Yeah.
I've even had one, there was a young woman and they're like, Jamie, you would be the perfect person to help this woman not to get an abortion. Mm. I went to her. We had lunch. I got her into to Hope Pregnancy Center for her to have an ultrasound. I was right there, watched her have the ultrasound. It was a little girl, but the ending wasn't pretty.
Mm.
I had a picture of her on my mirror.
Yeah.
She was a precious woman, but the enemy got a hold of her.
Yeah.
And a couple of weeks later, she called me up and she said, Jamie, I got to go to Indiana. Mm. I'm having an abortion and there's no way you're going to stop me. So I went and saw her and I spent hours with her.
Yeah.
But she still made that choice.
Yeah.
So I had to see it on the opposite side.
Yeah. And we don't get to choose and we don't always get to see the positive result of that because ultimately it is their choice. Our job as Christians that are healed in certain areas, we have this power in that area and our job is to tell the truth and speak the truth and give the seeds and pray over it. And then it is in God's hands. We can't do more.
Yeah. And before if I didn't have that healing, what did I mourn over that baby? Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
For about 24 hours, you know, I was just like, that's all I could think about. But then I said, Lord, I have to release it.
Yes.
Yeah. I have to release this because I am not going to be holding myself responsible.
No.
For somebody else's actions. And I know where this baby is. You know, I know you're singing to this baby and holding this baby and I will see her.
Yeah.
And I have to release it because if I was not healed from that, that would have absolutely devastated me.
Oh, for sure.
And then I wouldn't still be able to continue my story.
Which is such a beautiful picture of God's forgiveness and grace in your own story. I often talk about how when we ask the Lord to forgive us, a lot of times we hear people say, but I can't forgive myself. And the truth of the matter is that we don't have the power to forgive ourselves, just like we don't have the power to save ourselves. But what we do have the power to do, because Christ is inside of us, is to trust that He has forgiven us. To trust that He has taken all of that away. Because when He says that when we ask for forgiveness of sins, He pushes it as far as the east is from the west. The enemy is the one that is continually bringing it up. And when we say, Father, I trust You and I trust Your forgiveness for me in this aspect, it's that peace, it's that surrender that you feel. And so I wonder, did you wrestle with that too? The difference between I forgive myself and actually receiving what God has already given you.
Yeah, it was It was more that I was able to forgive my boyfriend. I was able to forgive
Yes.
my boyfriend's mother. I was able to forgive the doctor
Yeah.
and the nurse that was there.
Yes.
But the hardest part was to forgive myself, to let that rock down, put that rock down.
And trust.
But what I've done, but please use me.
Yes.
Use me for your honor and your glory.
Yeah.
Use my story.
Yeah.
To help
yes.
other women and for to save these babies.
Yeah. Even just one at a time. And that
yeah.
is the beauty of it.
The heavens rejoice just for one.
Uh-huh. They do. What would you say to a woman who has had an abortion or it's part of her story, but she's frozen in that shame, guilt, can't forgive cycle?
If they're not able to get into abortion recovery, you know, like surrendering the secret or anything. Also, you know, Jessica can be able to, you be able to tell them, you know, the resources.
Yeah.
And also, I do have resources with Victoria Robinson,
yeah.
who does these amazing abortion recoveries, that you can be able to contact us, you know, because it's a deep, deep rooted wound
yeah.
that needs to be healed. But that doesn't say that, you know, even if you don't go to an abortion recovery, that doesn't mean that Jesus isn't going to start working in your life, but go to him,
exactly.
go to him.
Yeah.
And ask for forgiveness and ask, Lord, I just want my life to be in your hands.
Yeah.
I want this pain to go away. I want this anxiety to go away. Believe me, he will. He'll
heal
it. He will.
Every single time.
Heal it in like a second.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard. You're going to be weeping, but he gathers every tear.
Yes, he does.
And that's part of the healing.
Yeah.
He died for us on that cross for the things that we've done for this.
Yes.
And he knew the decision what we were going to make.
Yeah. Well, and in 2 Corinthians, it says, in Christ, we are a new creation. The old is gone. The new is here. And when we forgive, we ask for forgiveness. We trust in his forgiveness and then move forward in that, not dwelling in what we've done, but walking forward in his grace. And you're right. You don't have to go to a healing group or a recovery group. You don't even have to share your story. But when you are truly healed, you will want to share your story. And these groups, these communities that are out there are for just that. And that's, you know, brings it back full circle from, I mean, we met in that. I joined a group this was years after my healing, but to know how to help others to heal. That's the whole reason I joined the Surrendering the Secret group. And then I started teaching the class because I wanted to help so much. And honestly, it, you know, you're saying just one at a time, right? If just one person came to that class, it was worth it all because I knew I was being obedient in that. And there, and here you are. And now
yeah.
you are sharing your story and helping to save lives. And had I said, I don't need healing. I don't need to go to that group. I don't need to help others. Who knows how many would not have been, not to say that I'm the one that the catalyst for this. Do not hear me say that. That's a seed that was planted in my obedience. And that's what the Lord wants from us is our obedience.
Yeah, he does.
Every single time. Oh, it's so, so powerful. So to our friends listening, before we close, I want to take a second to speak to you. Maybe your story is different from the ladies that you hear here every week or even today, but you know what it feels like to be broken and then found, to be ashamed and then freed. And if that's you and the Lord's nudging your heart, I invite you to be a guest on this podcast. This is a place for truth. It's a place for grace and for stories to help others know that they're not alone. It doesn't have to be super deep. And if you have a perspective that you'd like to share, click the link in the show notes or reach out to me directly. I'd be honored to hear what God has done in your life. So, Jamie, the last question that I have for you, and it's a question I ask every guest here, is what is one perspective that you would encourage listeners to apply today?
Hope is what comes to mind because this world is in the middle of such darkness.
Yeah.
And there is hope. there is hope in Christ Jesus. He's promised us that he would never leave us or forsake us. And no matter what it looks like, you might feel hopeless in your life, in your marriage, you know, even your walk with Jesus.
Yeah.
Because sometimes people don't think that he's listening, and he is.
Always.
There always is hope.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Well, friends, I hope that today's conversation reminded you that nothing disqualifies you from God's love. The enemy wants to keep us quiet and ashamed, but Jesus offers freedom and fullness. And just like so many of us have experienced, he's ready to meet you right where you are. All it takes is a willing heart. So if this episode spoke to your heart, would you do me a favor? Follow the podcast, leave a review, and share it with someone who needs some hope. And maybe even go spend some quiet time with Jesus while you're in this sweet, tender space. If you're in a place where you're ready to start your healing journey, please don't hesitate to reach out. Made Whole Community is a plethora of resources for you to begin today. And Jamie has another amazing resources that we can add as well. And remember, even small shifts in perspective can lead to big changes. Now go put those perspectives into practice. Talk to you next time.